Thomas Edison Board of Directors meeting, October 21st, 2019.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
Good evening.
As much as I'm sure Principal L would like us to stay here all night for his birthday. We'll try not to to oblige him on that. I'm gonna just give Mr. Cooper a call really quick and see if he wants to join us. Alright, so everybody has their minutes. If you could just take a look at that, and we'll just go ahead and approve that and get started. If you don't have any minutes, just let me know.
Al Blomson, we've had an opportunity to peruse the minutes. I move that we accept the minutes.
Alright, minutes.
I'll second.
Alright, great. Then motion and second it. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Alright, any dissensions? Alright, the minutes are approved as presented. Public comment. I don't think we have any public members available, but any parents? Public comment from parents. I mean, we have our board parents, but I don't see any other public parents there. Any teacher comment? All right, and the general public. I don't see any general public, but for the recording, any general public comment? All right, head of school report.
Everybody should have a copy of the school report. The only thing I was going to ask is, do we want to allow the guest to go so she can leave, or she want to stay?
I actually considered that too.
Whatever's easier for you guys.
But, you know, it probably would make sense. Good suggestion, Principal. Let's just go ahead and do that because we will be respectful of your time. And although we're not going to keep Principal here all night, there's no need for you to stay.
You keep me all night. It's not my birthday.
I'm not in a rush. It's just
I totally understand. And there's sometimes too where you might not want me to be privy to information. That's
not yet.
Okay.
But if we want to jump, we can jump down because that just kind of makes sense. So we go to the board reports, the board financial reports. So we have a representative of Robert J. Miller and Associates here. We've talked a lot about wanting to get into grants and wanting to establish more of a footprint in fundraising. Mr. Cooper, Wayne Cooper, has worked with reaching out to Robert J. Miller. They've conversed over the last few months. And we're fortunate to have them present here with us. So
I'll take the floor.
Over to you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Erica Miller, and I'm the Chief Operating Officer at Robert J. Miller & Associates. The name is honestly no coincidence. My father started the company 43 years ago, and about 8 years ago when I graduated with my master's, I wanted to become, full-time, fully immersed in our family business, which is grants consulting and fundraising counsel. We've been securing grants primarily for schools, charter schools, school district, nationwide for over 40 years. And we have clients in all 50 states and, some aspect of services we offer. But our full grants consulting services is what I've been talking to Patricia and Mr. Cooper about. And that's where we take on all the grant-seeking needs of your charter school. We actively pursue the 80,000 private and corporate foundations as well as the federal and state grants. We charge $7,900 per quarter, and we do ask for a one-year commitment up front because sometimes it does take 3, 6, 9, 12 months to hear back once a grant is submitted. And our benchmark is about 10 times fees paid, but the majority of, especially our charter school clients, because the Trump administration is very, very big on charter schools and homeschooling and things like that, but the majority of our, especially our charter school clients, are getting about $1 million a year in new grant revenue. I'm not sure if Mr. Cooper shared any of the information I shared with him in regards to status reports, references, things like that, but I can supply those for you, you know, at the end of the meeting as well. How we work is when a client does sign on, you do get a point of contact on our end, a grant writer specifically working for the school. Behind the grant writer is a researcher, an editor, and quality control supervisor. When we start, we will have a grant writer come to the school, take a tour, speak with you, your leadership team, talk about the needs of the schools. We will ask for a wish list of things that you have, but then we would also ask for your general operating budget because we will try to find grants to supplement things that you've already budgeted for. For example, you know, if you've already budgeted for kitchen equipment, the state of Delaware is coming out with a kitchen equipment grant. That's not something you necessarily said you wanted. We would still bring it to your attention. We are pretty much transparent to the process. Everything is done on your school letterhead with your signature, your send-off. However, a grant reviewer can tell when a proposal has been written by a professional grant writer. And just for, I would say, this would be, you know, the first test that a grant reviewer can tell if it's been professionally written by a grant writer. Foundations do not give because Thomas Edison Charter School has needs. Foundations give because Thomas Edison Charter School meets needs. So in your first two sentences, if you're talking about the needs of the charter school as opposed to the needs of the student that the charter school serves, it will immediately be thrown out. There's more grant money than ever before because of the Trump administration, and because of that, there's more people are asking for those funds. I would say even more so now because the presidential candidate, Elizabeth Warren, came out today that says, you know, if she gets elected, all funding to charter schools will stop. So my phone's been blowing up from all of our charter school clients because they are getting state and federal funding. However, there are the 80,000 private and corporate foundations that are out there. When we first start, we go after the lowest hanging fruit, anything from $2,500, $500 to $5,000. Those are quick, easy, and they have a fast turnaround. For schools that are unsure of, you know, they have so many needs and they're not sure, you know, where to start, we will definitely help facilitate that because what you see going on in the news is definitely what's hot right now for grant makers. Security resource officer, security equipment, mental health, behavioral health, the non-college-bound student, you know, trade schools, all of that is extremely important to grant makers. We have our own internal database where I can plug in characteristics that say, you know, this charter school in Delaware looking for a greenhouse, and it will let me know of all the different foundations that would go ahead and support that. We do all the researching, writing all the proposals, submit everything on your behalf, and then do the follow-up. We do not do the reporting included in our $7,900 fee. We can do that as an extra cost, but we just find that it's easier for you to do it in-house. And the reporting is really only needed for the large federal and state grants, for sure. Colleges and universities, you know, realized centuries ago, that they cannot survive on tuition and tax levies alone. Now, the difference between, let's say, the University of Delaware and Thomas Edison, if you could come down to the basic difference, what's the difference between your school and the University of Delaware? The age of the student. So there is no reason that you should not be sitting on, you know, a multi-billion dollar endowment like Ivy League schools, or where the University of Buffalo, where I'm from, go Bills, their half of their operating budget is derived from grants and fundraising. So charter schools can do that same thing. School districts realized, I would say, about half a century ago, 50 years ago, and now charter schools are just coming along to that notion, I would say, in the last 10 years. We cannot survive on tax levies and tuition alone. Therefore, you need to outsource with grant money. I included in the list some grants we've recently secured for our charter school clients. And like I said, there are many, many grants out there. But you have really four options that you need to decide today. Obviously, you know that there's grants out there that Thomas Edison would be applicable. Thank you. To receive those grants. But what's the most cost-effective way to go about it? You can hire someone full-time, which costs, a good grant writer costs anywhere from $80,000 to $90,000 a year plus benefits. You all can decide to work 6-7 days a week, going ahead and pursuing them yourself. You can outsource it to a firm, just like I'm sure you outsource your food service and your janitorial services, because we come in about half of what it costs to hire a full-time grant writer. Or you can do what's most costly, and that is nothing at all, and that's measured in the loss of opportunity. Because there is grant money out there, I guarantee it. You just need to go after it. And we have that advantage being in business for so long, working primarily with schools nationwide, that we have a really good forecast on what's coming up, what grant makers are looking for. We will try to cultivate relationships between local foundations and the school, as well as bring you to a national level. There's an ITEST grant that we go out for that honestly you get half the priority points if you show up to their meeting in Washington, D.C. And it does not have to be you particular. It could just be your assigned grant writer, but that's extra points. So we're more than just grant writers. We would call ourselves grants consultants because we will take an idea and make it as glamorous to the grant maker as possible. For example, we had a residential living school outside of Western New York. They requested money for a pickup truck because they wanted to haul garbage. Well, that's great. No grant maker is going to just give you a pickup truck to haul garbage unless there's an immediate need. So all of our grant writers sit around a table like this, and we say, well, what's the worst-case scenario? What else could we use this pickup truck for? Well, as many of you know, Western New York gets a ton of snow, and if there happens to be a fire during a snowstorm and the snowplows can't get to it, then that's a serious situation. So we sold the truck as emergency readiness vehicle, asked the client if they mind that we put a snowplow on it for 8 months out of the year. They said, sure, go for it. It was actually funded by five different foundations. They were actually able to sell it to other residential living campuses. And then because of that, yes, we filled their need for, you know, removing garbage, but we also got their grant money from them because they were using it as emergency readiness vehicle. So that being said, we will just take your idea and we'll craft it and make it as glamorous to the grant maker as possible. I know one of Wayne's concerns was our contract says we will create or write 2 to 4 uniquely different proposals each quarter. Or I'm sorry, I think it's 4 to 6. I would have to look because honestly, we submit way more than that. Once we do have a solid project, then we will edit it and submit that to multiple funders. So while our contract does say, you know, 4 to 8 uniquely different proposals, we are far surpassing that in a quarter. I believe there's some status reports. I gave you 2. And you'll see we're going after different things, greenhouses, big state grants like the School Climate Transformation Grant, the 21st Century Grant, the COPS Grant, as well as other state grants, and then the corporate and private foundations. So our rule of thumb is we're throwing as much mud to the wall and see what sticks. I would say after the first 3 months, then you're starting to see the grant dollars come in. You do get a weekly status report every Friday that shows what's been submitted, what's in the works, if we're waiting to hear back from anyone, if we need anything from you. So you're constantly in the loop. And then after that, we just go with what you're comfortable with. We know you're extremely busy, so if you can only do, you know, biweekly phone calls or quarterly, you know, in-face meetings, you know, we will go with what you can fit into your schedule. I think that's it. Does anyone else have any questions or concerns?
So, I know geographically it just makes the most sense you're in Western New York.
Right.
That most of your focus would be in the New York general area.
Yes.
So, what is your footprint outside of New York? So, I know you said you were in Raleigh today, you're flying.
Yeah, we have
clients
at all 50 states in some aspect of our services. This is our full retainer services. I would say we mostly are in the East Coast. We don't take on a lot of New York clients because then they will all just start competing with each other if they're too close, and then they get upset if one client gets something and others don't. So we really try to spread out as much as possible, and we don't want any conflict of interest, of course. We also offer what's called the monthly education grants alert. That's included with your $7,900 quarterly fee, but that has over 300 upcoming grant opportunities every month. There's three sections. The first section has larger grants that the whole school can apply for. The second section, the first section does have upcoming deadlines. The second section, the school can apply for their larger grants with no deadline. And then the third section is specifically for teachers, faculty, staff, training stipends, classroom equipment, gift certificates to Office Depot, things like that. We also have a couple different services. This is our most cost-effective, where you can hire us to write, you know, a grant one time. Like this, if Nebraska's coming out with their 21st century grant, you could pay us $10,000 to write that grant. But obviously, you would get more for your money if you retained our full services, because what you would pay for one grant is more than what you would pay for our quarter, our three-quarter period. So because of that, we are able to submit a lot more.
And then, finally, my second question was, so your individual grant writers, or who would be writing grants?
Correct.
So is that, do they have regions, or do they have, you mm-hmm. know, this person's in charge of, like, this state? So the person that would be assigned to Thomas Edison or the people, how is that done? Is it done by region, or is it just this school will be under?
No. Yeah, it is easier, obviously, if it's categorized by region, which we try to do, obviously. You know, it just makes it easier for the grant writer and then everyone on our staff.
No, that makes more sense.
Our grant writers, by the way, are incentivized to keep their clients. They are not paid a salary. They're paid a flat rate per month per client that they serve. I can say, you know, we have not brought on any clients that we cannot successfully secure funding for. While all schools are eligible to receive grants, how competitive of a case you can make for grants is a different story. You know, talking to Mr. Cooper and doing my background check, I already knew this was a viable school. Because there's two ways you can compete for grants. One is on the basis of need, you know, free and reduced lunch rate, poverty rate, things like that. And then the other is on the basis of excellence. But just as I'm sure you Google anyone or Facebook anyone who thinks they're going to have a job here or looking to hire, grant makers do the same thing. And so nothing big stands out in regards to you're not operating in the red. You know, the board and the administrative staff have a good relationship. You're not in the news for various things, which you won't believe what I see sometimes with, you know, prospect clients, whether they're making inappropriate statements, they're falsifying documents, you know, they're hiding money, things like that. So I will say you've already passed, you know, the sniff test. But because of that, that just makes you even more competitive. Because our rule of thumb is, well, look how well Thomas Edison is operating with the funds that they have. Imagine what they could do if they just had more money. So that's one of the ways that we really try to, you know, bring that across to grant makers for sure.
What kind of business in Delaware are you doing?
Right now you would be the only full-time client in Delaware. We do have clients outside of Philadelphia, North Carolina, and then New Jersey as well. But you would be the only school currently, the only charter school for our full services in Delaware.
So we could be a flagship.
And I'm not sure, there's a few grants coming out right now. So October 1st was the beginning of the federal fiscal year. So tons of grants will start coming out that will be due in, I would say, December or January. The COPS grant, like I mentioned, that's for security resource officers and security equipment. That's really big. The school climate transformation grant, unfortunately, just passed. It will come out in another 5 years. That was up to $350,000 per year for 5 years. And that was for staff salaries, building enhancements, and then you had extra credit if you were dealing with opiate issues within your region. So that was huge. The 21st Century Grant for after-school and summer programs. Okay, perfect. You already have that. And then farm-to-school grant, that's about to be released as well. And that's about $70,000 to $100,000 in new kitchen equipment and things like that. So that's just literally off the top of my head right now, what's coming out. But our monthly education grants alert, that has just 300, and that's the tip of the iceberg when it comes to what's out there. Unfortunately, though, although there are 80,000 private and corporate foundations nationwide, they can openly discriminate. So if they want to give to rich kids, rich white kids in Beverly Hills, they can give to only rich white kids in Beverly Hills. So researching is half the battle. We brought on researchers because our grant writers were spending more time researching than actually writing the grants. So we want to make sure when we are applying to a foundation that they're definitely meeting your needs. We make a contact first so they know they're coming, you know, our application is coming, and then we just move forward through that. Any other questions?
I'm good. No. Thank you.
All right.
You covered me and you got my questions. Now I'm very excited about the possibility. Any other questions for
How popular are grants for things like bulletproof windows?
Extremely. I mean, right now, that's it. Like, the biggest risk right now is an active school shooter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anything to prevent it from happening, behavioral, mental health, emotional support dogs, to making sure it doesn't happen. And then if it does happen, you know, what do we do? Yeah. That's huge right now for the grant maker. And because we have worked with schools nationwide, if something worked and we sold, let's say, you know, a lot of grant makers do not like to give for capital improvements, bricks and mortar, things like that. How we go about that is let's put that into your curriculum. So if you want new solar panels on your roof, that's great. But do you mind if we teach that now into your curriculum? So it's not just a capital improvement, but it's now learning for your students. We had a charter school out in Texas who they built a whole trade school building and a new high school building. And they got, I'd say, like, $750,000 worth of capital improvement grants because they had everything open. And so the HVAC was color-coded, the air conditioning, the water pipes, everything like that. So when kids were walking down the hallway, they were literally learning as they were walking. So there's different ways that you can go about securing grants for things that, well, who's going to fund this? Who's going to fund a new football field or something like that? Well, if the football field is keeping your kids in school so they're not, you know, out in the streets or dropping out, then we can make sure that you get a football field because of that. So it's making sure that not only are you asking for the right things, but you're asking it so it goes back to the student, back into the school, so it's more than, you know, it'd just be nice to have a new football field.
So just one other question just came to mind. How often do you, so obviously to represent the school, you're probably getting specifics around the information.
Yes, of course.
So as information becomes necessary or up, or we accomplished this, or we did that, or we did this, we would then be feeding that to our representative.
Correct. So how we
would be able to package that.
Exactly. So we start off with, we ask for a new client checklist of materials. A lot of it we can get off your website, but for example, you know, there's just things that every foundation asks for. Your board of directors, your 501c3, if you have one, your general operating budget, your audits, your financials, things like that. We will, when we first start, that's where we're taking as much time and as much information, gathering all the needs of the school, all the different projects you would like. For example, if you were our point of contact and we're going to go after a mobile STEAM lab or a mobile school-based health clinic, can you point us in the right direction of who to talk to in regards to what's the curriculum, the equipment needed, how much is it going to cost, the benefits, things like that. Once we have kind of just the nuts and bolts, we do put the proposal together. And the longer that we work together, it just makes everyone's job a lot easier because then we have so much in our proverbial vault, you know, that we can keep submitting grants as long as we get the okay from you, that we won't need all this information because we already have it in our back pocket. So I would say the first 3 to 9 months, we are working overtime for you because we need to learn the ins and outs of Thomas Edison School, just like all of you know the ins and outs of Thomas Edison School. So we do like a little lead time with our contract just so we can start. Let's say if you signed a contract for December 1st, I got it by November 1st, we would already start working on your behalf, you know, sending you out the information we need, start working on proposals, things like that. So when December 1st does come, we're submitting applications right away.
And would you need to start on a specific quarter?
Oh, no, absolutely not. We do bill by quarter. You know, we try to, obviously, with the school budget year being June 30th, we try to accommodate, you know, through that. So, no, it's up to you when you would like to start. There are no certain dates or anything like that.
All right.
So we literally could be submitting applications the first day of first week when our contract.
Correct, yes. We just had a school district outside of Ohio, they've been with us for, I think, 2 months, and they've already received a $15,000 Early Scout, Early Eagles program grant, and that was because they gave us enough lead time for that. So we could start, they've been submitting let's say they submitted Lowe's, the Young Eagles, which they just heard about, the Home Depot grant, Dollar General is really huge, and then a couple state grants within within Ohio. But the nice thing about the smaller grants is literally they just send you a check, and they're like, congratulations. There's no reporting or anything like that. Because in schools, in states where we have schools that are very giving, like New York and New Jersey, there are clients that we've gotten so many state grants for at one time that they're like, please, you know, we'll keep you on retainer, but you cannot submit anymore because now we actually have to follow through with everything that we promised and do all the reporting that comes with it. So that's good news for us, obviously. But that's what's nice about going after the corporate and foundation grants. Also, too, we have clients that say, you know, don't go for anything more than $50,000. Because you just keep giving us these, you know, little $25,000, $10,000. I mean, they add up so quickly that, you know, we don't even have to deal with all, you know, the state and federal grants. Another advantage I would like to point out about having a full-time grant writer on staff is we're there all the time. The School Climate Transformation Grant, that was huge. It was open to charter schools as well. And they gave literally a three-week turnaround over 4th of July. So we knew that it was coming. We've written them before, 5 years ago. So because of that, we had the extra advantage. Also, too, all of our clients were registered with SAM, CASE, all of that, which you need in order to submit the grant. There were schools that called us, begging us to be able to work with them, you know, write this grant one time. But we would tell them, unfortunately, you're not registered with SAM or CASE. And the registration process could take 2 months. Therefore, even if we agreed to take you on, you would not be allowed to apply because you're not registered. So little things like that that we would keep an eye on, make sure even when you are registered, you have to renew it every year.
Now, SAM.gov
is what the online portal that's used to submit federal grant applications. Okay. And it's literally like jumping through 7 hoops because you have to register with CASE to get a number to be then able to register with grants.gov, and that's just for federal grants. Your state has their own portal, too. So being registered, being up to date, all of that information, you know, that's where it is helpful to have a full-time grant writer because we're making sure that that's all done on your behalf. And I'm sure you guys were all out on the beach on the 4th of July where all my grant writers were, like, we were literally working from July 4th to, I think, it was, like, August 1st that it was due.
Well, I don't think you have to sell us on the benefits of a full-time grant writer. I think we all know we don't want to write grants.
Right.
For the 21st century, we've been doing it, and it's a bit off the beach.
Yeah.
I think our biggest concern was just the upfront fee, not knowing what we would receive with no guarantee.
And I want to point out that it's $7,900 per quarter. We do bill quarterly. Yes, we do ask for a one-year commitment, but that's just because we want to show what we're worth. You know, when we have our 10 times fees paid as a benchmark, and that first year it does take some time to get that. Everyone, when they sign on a contract, and this is a hard sell. I wish it was, you know, I guarantee I can give you your return on investment 1,000 times. Unfortunately, my attorneys would kill me if I put that in the contract. But everyone's stress level, my stress level, grant writer stress level, is extremely high once you sign that contract. Once we start getting grants awarded, it goes down. But we only have so much lead time or so much, you know, relaxing time before you're expecting that next grant to be awarded. So that's why I think it was really beneficial when Mr. Cooper asked for status reports and references and things like that. It's, yes, you can actually see what we're doing, what we're submitting on behalf of. And although we do get, you know, numerous declines, we are getting, you know, just as many awards approved. I think it was Babe Ruth who was the not only the home run king, but he was the strikeout king, too. So we want to throw, like I said, as much mud at the wall. And there are times where I'm like, no way is this going to get funded. And then, sure enough, it does. So it's really just about going after, you know, the right sources, the right projects, and then just having it as a full-time job. A lot of times, this is more so with bigger school districts, where our point of contact is actually the hired grant writer. That's the person's title. But when they were hired on to be a grant writer, they had all these other job responsibilities added on that they didn't have time to write the grants. So they ended up being our point of contact.
Yeah, we're looking at it as a yearly investment.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're not looking at one quarter.
Yeah.
Hit it and quit it. We know it's going to take some time. We have to develop a relationship with
of
you.
Of course.
You learn about our points of pride and the impact that we're having on the community. Yeah.
Another thing, too, that's really big is grant writers are not allowed to work on contingency or commission. Commission, I could tell you right now, we would be extremely, extremely wealthy if we could, because a 20 or 30% commission on a $3.5 million grant is $750,000. Also, too, to work on a contingency or a commission, none of that can be taken from the grant. We cannot pay for our services directly from a commission of the grant. However, we do try to secure grants for professional development, and that can underwrite our services because we are working side by side with you, your teachers, your faculty and staff, you know, trying to create more grants for the school. So that being said, I just want to be, you know, I want you to be cautious about that if you're interviewing anyone else or anything like that, because if you are found out to be either commissioned, working with a commission or contingency in the state, and then the foundation or the feds find out, then the school and the grant writer will be sanctioned. And you all ultimately would be blackballed from any.
And a lot of foundations don't like that kind of relationship.
Absolutely not. And then, too, as a point, as a strength, you know, every application asks, you know, are you looking for other foundations? Do you have a grant-seeking effort? And when foundations know that you've invested your money into an outside, you know, consulting firm, now they know that you're serious about this. You're not just trying to get free money out there. You've literally invested your funds in hopes that you can bring more funds to the school. So that's one of the major questions on a grant application. As well as, too, funders do not like to be the only people at the party. So they will be asking, who else is supporting this grant? Who else are you going after? Yeah. Same with the sustainability plan. Funders do not want their projects, their buildings, things to go away because their money went away. So when you can say that, well, we're actively having a grant-seeking department that's constantly looking for grants to underwrite this and sustain it even when you're gone, that's just another extra bonus for you.
And we're celebrating our 20th year as a charter school, which is phenomenal for charter. And just if you do get awarded this contract, your point of contact would be Ms. Yates for grants, and this lovely lady right here, Ms. Winder.
Great.
They'll be the two people you'll be working with primarily for school. They're excited.
Right. And that's what honestly we need. You know, a lot of times a superintendent might sign our contract, throw it to someone else that wasn't privy to our conversations, and they're just like, I don't know what you need. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Like, I just want to get out of here at 3 o'clock. So the more
information... Well, our day ends at 4, number one.
The more information, the more projects we have to work with, it will just suit you. I will say, if you look at... I can send you all, when we're done, a copy of the monthly education grants alert, the most recent issue, October. There are grants for literally anything. You know, you want to implement yoga and mediation? Sure, we can start doing that.
Yoga meditation class going on right now.
Right, we can do that. You know, you would like trees for your front lawn? Yeah, here you go. Lowe's will give them to you. I can't believe, is drug dogs were really big for a minute, drug sniffing dogs, but then a lot of schools got in trouble because they were picking up on the students who smelled like their parents. So that was like a huge...
That, right?
No, it was like a huge issue.
Not a cologne.
That cologne always gets you. So they made drug dogs even more so, like where they can only go, you know, by the lockers and things like that. But huge right now is emotional support dogs. Yeah, that's huge, whether, you know, someone has a dog, like a golden retriever, that they would like to bring in. That's big, as long with mental health, behavioral health, bringing in counselors, and training the teacher too. You know, there's tons of grants out there for what to look for if you see a student that's depressed. I just saw a video on the airplane where someone grabbed a shooter. It was like a couple months ago, and like just started hugging him, threw the gun away.
Oh yeah.
And then
Yes.
Where it's stories like that, where, you know, that person needed to be trained, I would hope. But there's tons of grants, you know, out there for that as well.
So my question has to do with, is there such a thing as the hottest quarter time of the year or the seasonal time of the year when most grantors are just waiting for you to...
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would say, you know, signing on now, and then because of the federal fiscal year starting October 1st, a lot of them start coming out December, January. But I will tell you, because of Elizabeth Warren's statement about taking all the funding away from charter schools, now it's going to be huge. Because I think Warren, is that his first name? No, Booker, what's his first name?
Wayne.
Cory Booker. He is huge on charter schools, so... The Trump administration will be giving even out more funds to kind of counteract what Elizabeth Warren said about how, you know, charter schools are a waste of time and all this. Literally, charter schools are calling me today, and I'm like, I didn't even know this was said. Don't worry, like, your funding's safe, at least with private and corporate foundations. But because of that, now it's even going to be even more and more intensified, I can tell you right now. Because if charter schools are worried about funding going away with this administration, more schools are going to be applying, more foundations are going to be out there giving, especially the feds and the state, because they want to keep, obviously, charter schools. I mean, yeah. If you get away with charter schools, we're going to literally be going backwards in time for 50 years. So I would say generally this is the time where we get a lot of new sign-on clients because of the federal fiscal year starting. And then, of course, with December and January, a ton of them come out because in order to apply and then get approved, it will all be for, you know, fall of 2020 implementation for the larger grants. So that's why you have to start applying in December, January when they come out. They'll probably tell you by March or April, and then you can plan to implement it in fall of 2020.
People joke with me, they're like, Elizabeth Warren has like a shotgun on me. I'm a chair of a charter school and head of a financial operations for a student loan company. That's sort of the two things she's looking for.
Right. And I mean, the National Public Charter Schools Association literally just went at her on Twitter and everything like that. So,
but what you said before really resonated with me about everyone wants to know who else is giving.
Right.
Right. So my day job, like I said, we were a startup company 5 years ago, head of financial operations. We had a fundraising round because we won't be profitable for another 2 years. But anyway, our fundraising round just closed in September 30th, and we literally had one of our larger investors that wanted to wait until the end of the day so that we could validate that the other 12 investors
were going to
deposits that hit the account
come to the table.
And once they've seen it, they can. But the point is, no one wants to be the only one that's given.
Yeah. Absolutely
not. They
want
you to prove that other people have given to the point where they want the federal reference number of the funds coming in. So it definitely resonates that the more that people see you going after and then successfully land, gives you a little bit more validation.
And a lot of foundations have these crazy rules that, like, you have to apply three times before, you know, then they'll take you. In this business, we say no news is good news. If you don't get a decline letter right off the bat, then that means it's going through all the hoops in order to get approved.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, with foundations and private and corporate foundations, you are subjected to when their board's meeting. And some boards only meet quarterly, some meet biannually, some only meet once a year. So because of that, you know, you might not hear back for a while, but if you don't hear back, that's good news. Any decline letters you do get, we will follow up because everything's done, like, in your letterhead, your signature, your send-off, so all correspondence come back to the school. Same goes if they do ask for more information. A lot of times you will get three responses. Here, congratulations, check is enclosed. You know, we're very interested. We have a couple questions. We'd like to find out more. Or, you know, thank you. We're no longer giving at this time, or our funds are already promised, things like that. If you get the first response, that's what we love. The second response will prepare something for you to then submit. We'll be a part of calls, meetings, things like that. Site visits are huge. And then the third, if you do get a decline letter, we would like a copy of that, and then we can just follow up with the funder.
Yeah. Cool. All right, I'm done for real this time.
I'm done.
Are you sure?
I have a meeting at work Monday afternoon, so.
Thank you, everyone, for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, we only have 5 minutes left.
Yeah. All right.
That will force us to really get on with business.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good thing.
Yeah, Principal, we'll just go back to your work out there.
All right. So everybody has a copy of the school report.
Yes, sir.
I'm just going to go over some highlights. Definitely want to highlight why the Williams Law Firm officially adopted us. Our school gave us $5,000 for school uniforms. The attorneys were here, had a wonderful assembly program for students. Ollie came out Appreciate you coming out.
Thank you, bro.
We had a high school night here. October 10th. Great participation. The Votech school had an emergency stuff, but they're coming back at a later date, in October, early November, to present to our students. Family reading night, always a big event for us. That's Thursday, October 24th, 5:30 to 7 p.m. right here at our school. We give out lots of prizes. Parents learn about the reading program, other literacy activities. We received $5,000 worth of uniforms, but we had no place to put them here at the school. We started looking for space. We found a closet. It was an old closet that we used to store some old science equipment and chess equipment. We had California Closets come in, give us a quote on redeveloping the closet as a whole new shelf, everything. And we talked to the representative from California Closets about White and Williams adopting us. Donate uniforms. She said, well, I'm going to see if I can get my boss to donate the clock to work on the closet. She came back, said the boss was fully funded and there's no limit to the budget. So we have an ironing board that opens out, comes out.
So who's going to do the ironing? You doing the ironing?
Ms. Yates.
That's a board function. And, you know, the thing that's ironic is that we basically applied the same principle that the young lady spoke about and that Mikhail spoke about, is that the California Closet Company saw somebody already invested in the school, already made a donation, substantial donation. They didn't look at the needs of the school. It looked we were trying to meet the needs of the students.
Yep.
So they said, they're already in. That's a major partner. We'll go in, you know, as well. And kudos to Ms. Yates and Mr. Shelton and Ms. Winder for sort of having that the presence of mind and thought to really kind of push that with the with the young lady, because it did pique her interest. Like, we need to let her know that, you know, this is a donation. So that's great. So they came in, did the whole laser design, and the official date for November 7th. Closet will be all done. Jesse is away on vacation, but before he left, totally painted, repainted, did new drywall in there, because those walls have to all be flat, 90-degree angles.
And we said before he left?
Before he left. Stay even over the weekend, he worked on it.
For vacation.
Oh, I thought you meant he was leaving.
No, vacation.
He started out by saying,
he's on vacation.
Yeah. Oh, I missed that. Okay.
But it's on the second floor. As soon as you go up the steps by the water fountain, it's right by the water fountain. Right next to the front boys' bathroom. And it's going to be absolutely beautiful. A place for just to hang.
Organize
hanging racks. Place to hang the blazers where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, it's going to be a real nice,
very
nice experience for the students.
We should have a little ceremony.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
We should.
And invite that company to come back. See
it. The tree removal in the parking lot is all complete. Yes. Concrete work all complete. Have you looked at it now?
Yes.
Looks good?
Yes.
That Jack and Beast. Yeah.
Excellent.
Very, very good.
I have pictures.
Very good. The new security cam installation is complete. Service Unlimited replaced the broken pipe in the boiler room as well.
You guys had a lot of success looking at the security from your phone and all that good stuff?
Yeah, yes, sir. And as you can see, we have 727 students. So we were surpassed the numbers that we
had. Excellent.
Awesome.
Move acceptance.
Any second?
Oh, aye.
All right. Any questions for Principal Ellis? Been moved by Mr. Blossom.
No questions.
By Brother Ellis. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? All right. The ayes have it. All right. Ms. Wander.
Everyone has the financial update. I just wanted to note that as of
and the first portion of funds from all charters should be paid by the end of the year. And then in January, we'll start getting the balance. And as I explained before, the last board meeting did receive our first portion of the unit account fund. Everything else is pretty much going normal, no really red flags or anything. Did anybody have any questions on any number?
Do not. Just always interested in the breakdown of the school districts on the second page.
Mm-hmm. No Smyrna this year.
No Smyrna. But yeah, three still holding in from McClinic.
Yeah. Abercrombie.
Yeah, still three there.
Still out there, way out there. Three.
All right, if there's no questions from Ms. Winder, I'll entertain the motion. Thank you. Motion by Mr. Teal. Second it.
Second.
All right. We'll move the second it. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any oppositions? All right. The ayes have it. Mr. Cooper is not here. So did you have something to present for him? Mm-hmm. Did you already pass that out?
Yeah. I have it. It's a statement of account. The Rutgers Foundation account. Nothing really out of the ordinary going on. To see that we did receive money going into the foundation from the state, and we paid the DCIC mortgage. That's a regular occurring transaction. We had some reimbursement from the board for PD food that we were authorized to get for reimbursement. We paid a few other things, but it's nothing glaring. No huge payments. Paid training and charter school per diem.
Yep. And so just to be clear on this statement of account, if we, as we make a decision, which I would be very much in favor of, the RJMA, that would be a board expense, and it would come out of this foundation account. So you kind of see our balances there. $7,900 a quarter equates to $31,800, I think, a year, or just under $32,000. $8,000 a year would be $32,000. So it's something that can certainly be absorbed, looking at our statement of account here, and that wouldn't be an expense to the school, and I think it will hopefully pay for itself down the road. I just wanted to point out, since we had this up here, how that would be funded.
And then the last page just shows what we have on hand in our money market fund.
All right. Any questions on foundation financials?
No.
All right. Get a motion to approve these.
Motion to approve.
All right. Motion to approve.
Second, Joe.
All right. It's been approved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any oppositions? All right. The ayes have it.
I have a copy of the audit report if anybody wants to look at it, but I thought that the auditors would be coming this evening, but...
Yeah, so I had put them on here just because I didn't touch base with them. I thought we had left it off that they would come. I mean, I just... So, they're not here. I'll invite them if they want to come next month. But if anyone wants to see the audit, it's present here.
It's here. There were no findings, no management letter, so we've got the unmodified opinion, which is the goal.
Right.
So we're looking good.
Great. Yeah.
Yep. No hand slapped on anything or anything like that, so we're in pretty good shape. So, Mr. Cooper didn't send you anything for achievement, right? Mm-hmm. All right. And Rupa contacted me. She's out of the country. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, she's vacationing. Operations committee. So, Emil Brown texted me, and he fractured his tibula on Saturday. He sent me a picture of his cast. But he wants to make sure that that we discuss the sound system.
Yes.
So.
We sent you an email in reference to the Premier Audio sound system. We have exercised or accepted the questions that were in the most, the deepest question that we had that we didn't have an answer for had to do with the warranty part of the contract itself. As far as the servicing part of this contract, we're satisfied that we have have clarity on the answers that we had. There were two questions that were presented. One had to do with the actual management of the service equipment. And so we made contact with an outsider who sent back a pretty detailed report. I don't know. Did you guys get it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So we're satisfied that we're on the right track with getting all of the answers that we need. So is there anything that Pat or Liz, is there anything new that we might have received in terms of the warranty part of it?
This isn't the warranty, but this is the update with the from the email, the suggestions that he had made.
Yes.
And the only difference that isn't in here is that we actually will need a larger mixer. So it's a 12.
Yes.
So that's the extra $2,000 that's there. So it's approximately $2,000 more than what's on here. Because we have quoted for 12 channel.
And the larger mixer gives you adaptability as you add more components.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to replace the mixer. You'll have the capability to add on the system years ahead. Did we talk about emails?
Well, the point that we were trying to make is that central question about the company wanted a specific manager of the equipment and all of that, and whether or not we could make changes so that we could have any other source to plug into that system.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any return of information about that, whether or not we could do that?
Well, what Emil said was they were asking about
I don't have my phone with me, and it's in my phone, so that's
yeah,
where
no,
I...
What the question that came up was the main controller that was being used for the master control. Emil had a friend of his look at it and give his assessment, and he said overall he liked the proposal, but he was wondering why the company hadn't gone with a top-of-the-line product.
Right.
the product that they had given us, didn't really have much information about. And said it could be a problem with the service contract moving forward. So we reached out to the company, and they said, well, we did offer that top-of-the-line product, but it was so much money, you didn't want to take it to your
board.
So
is that the $2,000?
No,
that's like $10,000.
It's a $10,000 difference between the better product. So he gave us a proposal with the $10,000, the new proposal with the product that Emil's colleagues said we should go with.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a $2,000 add-on because it changes the mix.
So he did say that it's compatible.
It's the same.
If we did not accept his system, if we went to the top of the line, is he saying that would work?
It would be the best system. We would have the best system if we went with the product that Emil's friend recommended. It is more money.
Yeah.
But it is the best system, and moving forward, if there were a problem with repairs, there will be parts available because it's a sort of an industry standard. It's a system that most people use.
Okay.
So for longevity, it will be worth the investment. It's just that we had to be cautious because we didn't want to come and worry about, you know, going over budget.
Yeah.
But once he saw what Neil's colleague was recommending, he agreed and said, that was my initial thought for your system because it is a full use school system. But it would just be a matter of us being okay with paying the additional funding for a much better product. He says basically the top of the line what he's recommended. And it's what he recommends, but it just exceeded. We gave him a budget number.
Yeah, we told him
we were trying to stay at $30,000, and he had to go with the cheap product to do that. So now that he was sort of given a green light to give you a proposal with a better product, he was able to do it for $10,000 more and have a much better
So pretty much, Emil Brown took the proposal and to someone that he knew specialized in and said, could you just give me your feedback on this? He came back and said, that's great, but how about why not consider doing X, Y, Z?
But do we have to increase the budget in order to entertain the seriousness about adding that on?
Because the board is paying.
Yeah, this is coming from...
say that again.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is coming from the.
I got you.
Yeah, this is coming from. Coming from the foundation.
Right.
It all started. Yeah. We
said we do what we want.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah. If we spoke to Emil. You tell him why Emil's not here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was moving over here to my brother and said, can we take that out of the foundation?
Totally supports the young.
Yeah, so it's really
gonna go for it.
Yeah, so it's really so what is the total number?
Would you give them the new one?
Yeah. So it's
you have
it? I probably have it.
And it would be like
here it is. Sorry, it's over here. Sorry.
Approximately 2,148.
So, I put where the 2,000
comes.
Just
wait.
Now, so
what's
say what's the, I would like us to close on
whatever it is
we're going to do.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure, absolutely.
What's our intentional deadline to get this done?
Well,
do we have?
Well, I think we wanted to have it for November.
Right, because we were trying to have it ready for, you know, we have a lot of our programs that come up in the fall and winter, and definitely for a holiday program for the students, because this changes the whole experience. Even,
yes.
I mean, you're at the graduation, your microphones aren't working. This changes, I mean, microphones. And then also what's great is it gives, well, the screen will help for our professional development because right now we have to show everything on the wall in the back, so it gives us a screen. Also, it gives the adaptability with the mixing.
Yes.
We can actually add mobile monitors on the side so we can actually have, so for our professional development, we can have optional images and work that staff members can do aside from the main screen there'll be other, we have the capability of adding on even mobile monitors where they can work in small groups. So it's a state-of-the-art system.
And so my last question has to do with, we have people on board now who are our tech people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this stuff is very sophisticated.
Very high tech.
Yes.
And he's been with us every step of the way.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Every step of the way.
All right.
Now, so if you're looking, so here's kind of my thoughts. I think, so if you go back to kind of our foundation account of the finances that we looked at and where we were immediately prior to here. So we kind of have this first page, and you see the bank statement of the second page. That's like our checking account, kind of for expenses as they come up and what have you. And then if you flip to the last page there, we have a money market account, which I kind of envision as any day something bad happens, you know, it allows us to kind of take a gut punch and self-finance. My opinion is of this $50,000 is something that we can certainly live with for the investment. And so I was thinking of kind of two things. We just had the damn lady here, which we'll talk more about. I think I probably owe it to Mr. Cooper to talk to him before we even to make a vote. But I think that's something that, like I said, it comes to 31.8. It's something I think that will probably benefit down the road. Mm-hmm. And if we don't get it done, which I don't think will happen, we spent $31,000 in learnings, right? So you couple that with this, and you know that's a total foundation investment of about $80,000 on our foundation checking account. We would be able to kind of take that in and still be above $200,000, and then we still have not touched our kind of money market kind of rainy day fund. Those are just kind of my thoughts. And as we move forward, we kind of talked about just the whole reason we had the young lady here earlier is we kind of envisioned, we got past a lot of kind of our noise of the past couple years, and we're able to just be aggressive and investments into the school from the board, not just from the school. So I think these are kind of two things that at the end of the year we can really, I talked at the beginning of the year saying as some like light goals that I think we should do as a board, and I think these would be some of those things that we could consider a success if it to put into place. So I'm totally in favor, but I listen to any other commentary and you know, certainly share your thoughts and opinion.
I think with the $31,000 investment, I think that my team is, we're excited, and we believe that with the cooperation and support of the Grant Foundation, that we could easily exceed $100,000 to $200,000 in grants. Just based on the experience we have with telling our story.
Yep.
And, you know, just with the little things that we're able to do, you know, with California Clouds and some of these other
schools. Without any support.
If we had someone who had, I think that if White Williams had $100,000 to give, I think they would have given it to us. If California Clouds had $100,000 to give, they would have given it to us. So I think if we have the access to those foundations and grants, that we could write and give them the information that they need,
Yep. Then
I think that $30,000 investment would be very
good. Yeah, I think so. And in my opinion, as a board, we have to pick a point and kind of start there so that you have something to build on and just get a little momentum.
Have we, is this the only grant writing company that we've like even looked at? Or?
Mr. Cooper had another, this is the only one that's gotten serious.
Okay.
Yeah, that we've seriously looked at more than, and they like flew down and talked to us.
Okay.
Everyone else has been kind of like, he had another that he had looked into, but it has not, he did not get the kind of the connection and the kind of
right,
head off
right.
with this one. That's why I think I didn't put that up for a vote just because I'll let Mr. Cooper come back next month and kind of speak to kind of what his thoughts was, and since he kind of was the driver of it.
Right.
And with this company, what we did was because they came highly recommended from many schools,
okay.
is that I requested to speak personally to the administrators that work with them, and all of the feedback I got was, if you guys put in the work, you'll get more money than you ever thought you'd get for your school.
And I was impressed with, I told Mr. Cooper last month, I said, hey, you know, they're asking for it. It's a pretty decent-sized investment. Have them come up to it. Have them come here.
Yes.
And I wasn't sure that they would, but, you know, it was only the next week, and they were like,
they
reached out to me and said, when do you have your board meetings? Yeah. We'll fly someone out and kind of meet with you guys. But talking to her, I talked to her before we got started, and she flew here from Raleigh today, because I thought it was ironic, but I was just in Raleigh.
Earlier today.
I told her I was just in Raleigh earlier today. I said, I promise.
And then
I'm going to Buffalo, where she's from, so I'm like, man, that's weird. But so I asked her, you know, are you heading back to Buffalo from today? She said, no, I came here to meet with you guys, but then I have to go back to meet in Charlotte. And Charlotte's two and a half hours from Raleigh. So, I mean, it's commitment on their part, right?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
She had a meeting Monday and Wednesday, mm-hmm. kind of in neighboring areas, and kind of flew here, you know. So, you know, they seem like they're pretty serious.
Pretty serious. 40 years plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
if we just get the bulletproof glass, that's like way...
You sit by the window.
Yes, I
am. but we'll talk more on the fundraising company. But I did want to address just the sound system.
Right.
Do we have any thoughts or comments, or have you guys lost your mind while you're doing that?
I don't think you have anybody at school level. Hopefully, it's been a long time coming that we are this. We really have just the student performances, the leadership day, the graduations. What's that?
We showed a video, just I guess like the one last day, and it's up on a wall with the wire in between it. Like it's just not as
And then we just think about like a lot of the schools, they do movie nights for their families.
Yeah.
Just the movie night experience would be phenomenal. For the surround sound, like we could offer to our parents, like we did it a few years ago, where they can drop their kids off, and they can go shopping, go on a date, do whatever, and we'll take care of your kids for a couple hours in the evening. We show movies, we do popcorn. Problem is, we have families coming here and have kids here every
day. Yeah.
So that was, and Kelsey was one of them. But it's such a great way to engage the community. So I think it's a win-win.
I mean, and then what I view as kind of the showcase events, or you know, the leadership day, and then graduation that next month.
And
those are just big.
And then to top it off, right, is that when you bring a person in who's a potential funder, a potential donor, and you bring them into your auditorium, and you have a state, you show that you're investing in your children, investing in your institution, that person is more likely to say, then I want to be a part of that. When they see that you feel that there's worth and value in your institution, where the board is investing, where the staff is, you know, investing. So
I'm glad you said that, because what my thought was when I asked about, did we have a target date that we were looking at to get this all done? My first thought when I started looking at this, I said, wow, if we could have that leadership day, you know, when we kind of like said April, are we still looking at that as kind of like a target date for our leadership? What's going on?
Oh, we already have a date for leadership day.
It's already set?
Oh, yeah. We said the year before. What's
sorry.
Ms. Hoffner, Ms. Yates.
I missed that.
Somebody go to pull that up for you.
So I already got that? I missed it.
No, that's okay. We're going to get it for you right now.
I know.
But it's still April.
Week in April.
Right. Yeah. So if we could have all that stuff set up by April.
But I think
we're trying to get it set up for our winter festival, winter program.
Yeah.
March? Yeah. No, not March. April? Well, April 12th is
yeah.
But that's okay.
We'll get it.
We'll get it
right now. We'll get it.
But no, Hal, we're We're looking to try to have them start working on that in November.
Yes.
And be able to roll it out to our families
in
the November, December. They said it takes about 30 days or so.
Yeah.
Wow. So we're looking to try to nail that.
Yeah.
I guess we're going to vote on it.
Yeah. So if there's any other, certainly open to any sort of comments or feedback. Feel like I'm not getting the opportunity to.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Yes, yes, you heard us. yeah, we're saying let's do it.
All right, this is one where the teacher board members like motion to approve.
That's not a legal motion.
All right, so it's been motion by Ms. Huffman.
Second.
All right, second by Mr. Boss.
We got 2 seconds.
All right, so it's been. Motion and second it. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposition? All right. Mr. Blossom, did you have anything else?
No more report.
Okay.
We're good.
Oh, man.
And just for the record, I spoke to email, I think he did too, and he said he supported the moving forward with it as well.
He did.
Even though he's not here.
Nah, yeah.
He had his full support as well.
Yeah, so I told him that. Like, he, when he told me he wasn't coming, he said, but please vote on the sound system. After
I think that's his project.
And pass along.
Yes.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
He put a lot of work.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
Thank was drawing the graduation. And he's like, man, it would be good to have a screen, good to have sound. So.
Even the mic, you know, we had
I looked at the
Do you remember
that? Oh, kind of
yes. Well, you don't have wireless. You don't have. Two of the microphones, I think, are choral, so it picks up the sound from the entire group.
Wow.
So one little question that I have, and it's just a second. The storage bins out here in the hallway, what are they for?
Those are closets for teachers.
Closets.
Placing the
closets.
You ever see the metal cabinets in the room? They're just wrapped up real good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I need them to move them, get them moved out of there.
All right. I was just curious.
All right, on to the executive committee. So Emil wasn't here, but he's really excited. The other thing he's really excited about is a 20th anniversary celebration, and I know he had some thoughts he wanted to give on that. But if we're going to do it, we'll have to start kind of nailing down the time frame, the date, so that we can start looking at some venues and all those sort of things. So I will touch base with Emil on that. But I'm thinking we will want to do that, Principal L, for a 20th anniversary celebration. Like, I'm gonna touch base with Neil on that. But you would think that would be like a June type time frame if you had your pick of any time.
Yeah, I would think spring, June. We have a lot going
on. That's what I think. So that's what we. We should just get some thought around when would be a decent time for that.
Maybe May. Sort of in between leadership day.
Talk to him. Start looking at some venues.
Something at the Holden Coliseum.
And then both Rupa and I are both speaking with our employer. My job's going to get back to me on some dates. If we have a board retreat, being able to use conference room, the executive conference room at our respective employers.
And you thinking about a Saturday?
Yeah.
Like a half day on a Saturday?
Yep. And then as far as like I said, so October wasn't good for me, but November and December, I'm back to being normal. So if I have availability at my job, I'm going to throw out those dates. So I'll look to follow up on both of those. But that's it from the executive committee. Any board member comments? All right, any other items needing discussion?
Yeah, do we need to talk about the Christmas party?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about the Christmas party. Because it's October, it'll just make your life easier in November.
Yeah, well, yeah, because November, you're going to try to find a location for December. It's going to be hard. We actually tossed around the idea of doing another, a couple years ago, we did an in-house where we just provided lunch the staff, since we're going to do a 20-year.
Yeah, that's what I have been kind of thinking about that.
It was really nice when we had it was catered here and board members came.
If we do it here, we would just want it to be like officially like catered and
right.
Just have to sell it nice, not like
we had Columbus and Common
catered. Yeah, something like that.
Oh, yeah, you have your new sound system.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. So.
You got a new table.
Which
we have to thank Wilmington University. They donated some nice furniture.
They, oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
Just sitting down.
Very nice table.
Very nice.
So if we plan to have a 20th anniversary celebration, do we think an in-house sort of party is, you know, be well received, that sort of thing?
Well, I think what we should do, if we could just, maybe we can approve a budget for either,
yeah,
for outside or inside, and then we can kind of pull the staff and kind of see.
Yeah, so that's what I would prefer. Like, I'm open to doing it here, but, you know, but I prefer it to be something that people can look forward to and that sort of thing.
Because that is, even though it's in-house, it's people come at different times. You don't really have it.
Yeah, so I guess what I'm saying is, if we end up doing it in the house, that's okay. I'm okay with that. But I wouldn't consider a necessity just because we're having something else. Like, I'm still open to having something. Cause I just think it's good to kind of bring folks together.
One good thing is we know that everybody would come. Everybody would be here.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Yeah, so we're thinking about the possibility of maybe having the best of both worlds, where we do it catered in, but we do it in the new Sound View Coliseum that we have.
All right.
Let's
table
that.
Almost like the beginning of the year where we have all the tables.
Or maybe like the end of the year when we have the.
Well, yeah, but kind of in there.
So, Ms. Wander, at last year at. We were at Harry Savoy last year, right? So,
yeah.
Did we end up spending $5,000?
Yeah. No, over five.
So let's say, because like I said, I'm indifferent. Just because we have something there, I'm not saying that it needs to be in school. We can do both. But let's set $5,000 as a budget, and if we do it here and we only spend $2,500, then that's certainly a win. Or 3,000, but it just gives you a little bit of flexibility. See what the best move is for the administration. You guys can see what the best move is for the school, and we'll take it from there.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. All right. Any thoughts on that? Anybody think it should be? You know, not that. I don't want to unilaterally, but that's what we kind of have spent in past years. I think that's fair. And then next month when we come together, we can talk specifics. But just take that as kind of the working budget. And if we need to officially vote, we can do it then. Any other items? All right. Mr. Blossom?
I was waiting for somebody else to move to adjourn.
All right. That's your job. That's
your right. Good job.
I thought Joe was going to say, let's tell him to say, move to adjourn.
Yeah,
let's get out of here.
First of all, second it.
Thank you.
Oh. Ms. Patel. Yeah, go home. Go home and rest.
I probably not. I still have work to do. We'll see. Sorry I missed the meeting.
I want a salad. I want to take some.
Thank you.